as the Guardians, or the Guardians are off today, as the Cavs try to take a 2-0 lead.
Worked out nice. It worked out nice on Saturday that the basketball, as much as we made fun of the fact that the Guardians or that the Cavaliers are playing at 1 o'clock, it worked out really well for downtown because you had the basketball game during the day and then the baseball game at night. So that worked out okay. I'm sure there were a lot of people that got overtime because of that. So good news.
And other people who were able to watch both games completely.
True.
That's Andy Baskin. I'm Jeff Phelps. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. Number to join us is 216-474-0092. Angel Gray from ESPN, sideline reporter in the Cavs Magic game. She's going to join us at 1:20.
She's big time, man.
Angel's a peach.
Yes.
And she's from Georgia. So there you go. On top of that, 97-83 was the final score in game one. If you could draw up perfect scenario for the Cavaliers against the Orlando Magic, Andy, I think it was on display in game one.
That was it, except for the third quarter where it kind of got stagnant there. That's the only...
True.
Okay, we got something to grow on. You got to make an adjustment. Let's not have this happen again. We got to get, you know, we can't go into a little bit of shooting slump here and we'll be all right, you know?
Well, they've talked about that. The Cavs had a great start in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did they finish it up as well? Well, probably not. But when you have a great start and don't let the other team get a whole lot closer the rest of the way, Andy, you're in pretty good shape. You don't just take that.
Did it not feel that way for most of the NBA first round games? Like, I probably watched six of the eight, at least parts of six of the eight.
Well, the home team won every game. Everything went as expected, I think. There were a couple of contested games. But in the Cavs situation, they took care of their home court and they kept the Magic down, which, as we know, the Cavs have had some issues doing that this year. There were a couple of moments in the fourth quarter where you thought, are the Magic putting... And it never got to like, oh, my God, this is a game. But it got to, well, this is close. And are they closing in on... Oh, no, okay, there. The Cavs just pushed it back out again. But there were a couple that might have had you uneasy. I expect Orlando to play a much better game tonight. Much better game.
That's why it's important to come out hot again in the beginning.
Well,
Remind them of how bad they played in game one. And let them get right back to where they were on that. How many times do we watch a game where it seems like it's a blowout? Then all of a sudden you're listening to the announcers, the team that was behind for most of the game comes back and they're like, hey man, there's something to build on for the next game. I don't know if you notice this, but you know, they won that third quarter, or they won that fourth quarter, and that's got to give them some hope. You know, the other team is half the time just asleep because they built such a big lead, but you don't want to give another team any kind of hope. You don't, and that's why it's important, again, they come out quick and physical like they did the other night.
Well, first and foremost, their defense was superb. And you know, the Cavs, at times, have been a really good defensive team. You know, they stress the defense. Every team will tell you, most every team will tell you, you know, we stress the defense, it's defense first, blah, 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 blah. I do think the Cavs actually try to adhere to that, and I do think they try to do that each and every game. They don't always succeed. Nobody does. But they did succeed in game one. They will not hold the Magic to 83, will they? I mean, it could. You never know. I would be stunned if the Magic don't have a better offensive game. One thing that's nice is they're not a great offensive team. That said, they're certainly capable of getting some things together. And Paolo Banchero could end up having a big game. You never know. But the defense, if it's there tonight, I think the Cavs are going to be tough to beat.
I'm wondering what the crowd's going to look like tonight.
Bet it's sold out.
I don't know, man. You can get tickets for $33 tonight.
All the more reason to sell it out. Mm. Also, we talked about this early on in the show. For whatever it's worth, and it changes. You want it to change. You want other guys to be able to step up. I loved the offensive mix in game one. And the offensive mix was this. Your best player was your leading scorer with 30. It took them only 21 shots to do that. That's nice. You know, that's efficient. Donovan Mitchell was 5 of 5 at the free throw line, hit 3 of 8 three-pointers. Well done. 11 of 21 shooting in the game. If you don't have to have 30 shots to get 30 points, that helps your team. And that was the case. The big guys with double-doubles, each with 16 points and then 18 and 11 rebounds respectively for Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Big game by Jared Allen. And Darius Garland played a very efficient 14.8 assist game in 32 minutes and was 6 of 11 shooting. some back issues. Let's hope he's okay. But there's nothing wrong with, like, Darius also took a back seat to Donovan Mitchell in the playoff game.
But that's what's got to happen.
Well, but this could happen too. Let me throw this at you.
Okay.
Could happen that Darius comes out and is on fire.
All right,
and
then I
can
Donovan
see
what you're
can
saying.
Take a back seat to Darius that night.
But I don't.
There's
you
nothing
think
wrong with that.
For this team to fire on all cylinders, does it not feel like Garland needs to be the two, and Mitchell needs to be as far as
you mean
points,
as far as the
points, scoring chances, scoring opportunities.
Personally, I think if Darius and Evan and Jarrett all averaged about the same, and Donovan was your leading scorer, I think that's the best way.
All four of those guys in double figures took
right.
more than 10 shots.
I think that's the best. The mix, I thought, Andy, was perfect in
but
that
Donovan
game.
Took twice as many shots as everybody.
Well, that's okay.
I agree, especially if he's hitting.
Right.
Which he was.
And if he's not, okay. Again, he didn't take 30 shots. He took 21. That's not bad.
No.
And nobody else took more than 12, which I thought was kind of interesting. And that's okay.
But that's the formula. Doesn't it, that like that's the
well,
formula.
Andy, I think it's the perfect formula myself. And I like guys who facilitate. Darius showed that he can facilitate. And he's shown that time and time again. It's just those games where it sometimes feels like your turn, my turn. Those are the ones that kind of drive us nuts. And it didn't feel that way in game one. It felt like we're playing as a unit, and right now this guy's scoring, and I'm getting him the ball. And we're doing this as a team. And Evan down low, we're getting him the ball early. They got him established. That all works. And I hope they can repeat that tonight. I just think it's going to be a much more challenging game for the Cavaliers because I expect the Magic to be better.
I do too. But I also think that as long as the Cavs come out with the same intensity they had the other night, the same physical kind of play, that same defensive mantra that they had, that they should be able to say to Orlando early on in this game, this is going to be the way it was last game. We're going to come out. We're going to be up like, what were they up? They were up 5 after the first quarter. We're going to be up again, and then you're going to see it again, and we're going to continue to build on the lead, and you're not going to get inside of our – like, I'm still like, what did we learn last year? And if you can take that and implement that, which I thought they did – on Saturday, then you've got a winning formula. You've got what you need.
Do you think the players, do you think the coaching staff would want to tweak anything from that formula?
Well, I hope that based on that first soundbite that we had from JB, that they don't suddenly want to start forcing Darius into the offense. Don't force it. Please, don't force it. Just let it be what it is.
I would agree with that. I thought it was interesting that the and we know there's a height advantage for the Orlando Magic across the board, pretty much. You know, in the backcourt, you know, Wagner at 6'10", at small forward, didn't seem to be that big of a factor in the game. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a bigger factor. And
someone's going to step up for them that didn't step up in game one. That I can guarantee you. The question is can you keep everybody else down? Someone will. One of those guys will.
Well, that's a valid question there. I think.
I mean.
They have a lot of nice young talent. The question is, are they ready for this? You know, are they ready to be a playoff caliber team? And I don't mean regular season. I mean when you get into the playoffs and you're ready to, you can win some games. I don't know if they're ready for that yet, which I think is why I clearly picked the Cavs to win this series. You clearly picked the Cavs. We both said 5 or 6, not being completely specific. You want a number, I'll say 6.
I'm leaning more towards 5, and then just come out in the first quarter tonight and let them know what's coming. I can't say it enough times. If you know you've dominated a team in game one, you're already inside their head. They're a little bit worried about what's going to happen this game. They know they need to step up. In the back of their minds, they're making excuses saying, it's only one game. We're on the road. We weren't supposed to win this game anyway. Right? That's what teams do. So remind them early on in this game with tough physical play that, yes, you are the inferior team in this, and you might get a sniff down when we go down to your place for game 3, but it's not happening tonight. This is our house. You're not winning, and we're going to show you early on exactly what's going on. You can't come out flat. You cannot. You don't want to you don't want to give them any hope. You gave them a little bit of hope in the third quarter in game 1. Don't give them any hope.
Who benefits more by what happened last year in the playoffs? And I just mean playoff experience.
Feels like us right now.
Well, I was going to say players or coaching staff?
Players in this one. I think so? The players took an entire season of a beating from getting manhandled by the Knicks, and that these guys were in question all year. Yeah, oh, that's great. They won 18 and 20, which, by the way, is unbelievable. But let's see what they look like during the playoffs. Let's see. Let's see how soft they are again. Are they going to be soft like they were against? Because the Knicks had no problem doing whatever they wanted to. They manhandled it. That's why I think it was important for Mobley to come out and have a big game, game one. That's why I thought it was important for Jared Allen to have a big game in game one. And both those guys gave you exactly what you needed.
Well, this is my big question when it comes to the rest of this series. Okay, you punched.
Okay.
They didn't have the answer totally to it in the first quarter. They seemed to figure a little bit out as the game went on.
They did.
But what we've ran into in the past is that the next time a team comes out, coach has a game plan, and then J.B. Bickerstaff is kind of shoulder shrug. I don't know what to do. That's what Tom Thibodeau did. Tom Thibodeau forced them to play left-handed. He took Donovan Mitchell out of everything and said, all right, yep, I'm letting the rest of you beat me. I'm going to leave the corner wide open, and Isaac Okoro can shoot as many threes as he deems necessary because I'll take the odds that he's not going to make enough of them to make us pay. That's my question. Okay, you punched. You look great punching. Nice job. Now here comes the counterpunch. Do you have the answer? That's where my question is with this team. And it's not just players on the floor. It's the head coach as well having the X's and O's to counter what's going to come next.
Well,
it's the self-scouting. Sorry,
I don't
Jeff,
think
go.
I don't think Andy can answer that. I don't think I can answer that. And I think only the Cavs can answer that. And we'll find out in game two tonight because you can be sure they will counterpunch. How might Orlando do that? Angel Gray was working the sidelines for ESPN in game one. She's going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps. So we go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. She worked here covering the Cavaliers. Now she's working with ESPN. She's the former scrappy point guard for Florida State University.
Scrappy.
And she was working the sidelines. Game one, Cavs against the Magic. She's Angel Gray. Hi, Angel.
Hi, Angel.
Hi, guys. How you guys doing?
We are well. How about you?
Doing great.
You still in town?
I am not. We didn't have the luxury of having the game on Monday. NBA TV has that one. But I will tell you, it was an electric just environment, just to be a part of game one and see what playoff basketball is like in Cleveland was absolutely overwhelming and exciting.
It was a little bit more fun to watch the Cavalier playoff basketball this year compared to last year against the Knicks. You tell me, what did they learn? What now can you see that they learned against the Knicks they were able to carry out against the Magic a year later?
I think the thing that everyone would lead with that has been echoed throughout the locker room as well as the coaching staff is just the understanding of the physicality you have to play with, but also the maturation that you have to have in order to welcome that physicality and also not let it throw you out of your rhythm. And I thought that they did a great job with that throughout the ball game. They really threw the punch first, the first punch. And I thought that was just indicative on how they were able to get into a rhythm on the offensive end, also get stops. They were 5 for 5 from the three-point line to start the game. And that was something that Coach Mosley for Orlando was really just trying to limit them throughout the ball game, knowing that the Cavs are just one of the teams that are known to do that and do it very well throughout the regular season. But just to see their rhythm, just to see their connectedness on the offensive end, even in the lulls of scoring, because I know, you know, with the hot start from the three-point line, then it got everybody else going. And I remember asking Donovan after the game, what a luxury it is to go cold from the three-point line and have two, you know, front court players in Evan Mobley and Jared Allen that can come up with double-doubles and impact in different ways to get things going. So I just think they understood what it took to get the job done through a physical and a mental aspect of playoff basketball.
Angel, we loved the mix offensively for this team with Donovan being the lead guy with 30 points, and then the double-doubles from Evan and Jarrett, 16 points each. And Darius, in this game, playing a not-as-high-scoring role but having 8 assists. Did you like that look from this team? And is a person who played high-level college basketball, can Darius Garland look and think, okay, this worked out great. No problems for me in this game being a guy who gets 8 assists and only 14 points.
I tell you what, you asked me if I like it. Yes, sure, I like it. I think J.B. Bickerstaff loves it as well as the team because he was on a triple-double alert for a good portion of the second half. And just realizing what he was doing, getting into a flow, how they were working off of one another with him and Donovan Mitchell. And I think, too, you see how they have to find their own pace within the game. I thought they did a remarkable job with, you know, feeding everybody else. And that's what your job is, you know, from, you know, a floor general's point of view. But going back to Coach Bickerstaff's post-game presser, he said that type of assertiveness and aggressiveness from Darius Garland is what we need. It may not be a 30-point game, but how he gets everybody else into their spots is what makes everything else flow. And so, I mean, you can have a train, but without the conductor, what does it look like? So I really feel like he did a great job of playing his role. I think the luxury of the Cavs in their offense right now is that that could be, you know, a free-flowing, I guess, position with him and Donovan Mitchell. And I think that's a big piece of it. Going back to that first question, too, just about what's different about their flow, too, in their balance, is the new additions. That's what everyone has been talking about, just how they've been able to step in. I think George Niang had some incredible minutes for them in game one, and I think that's what it comes down to, the X-factor minutes. Coach Bickerstaff said Caris LeVert was also one of the biggest X-factors for them off of the bench. So, yes, it comes down to Darius Garland and how he feeds others, but how they can complete the play with other people around them makes them a very dangerous team.
Angel, what does Jamal Mosley do tonight after watching his first game? I think if I'm him, I'm saying to my guys, hey, it's one game. No one expected us to win this first game. Don't lose your cool. Let's see what happens here. But how can they adjust to get back at the Cavs tonight?
I think just realizing that game one, you can take some good things out of it, but most importantly, it's hit a bucket. I think for their backcourt, they were 14 for 37, I believe, around that number. That's not a number that you want from your guards getting things set up. I know that Paolo Banchero and Wagner were efficient from the floor in double figures, but that just can't happen. They shot in 20% from the three-point line. That can't happen. I think even their, you know, performance from the free throw line, shooting 21% is not something that he's excited about. 19, I think. From that area. So just for free throws, you have to be able to step up and do those little things for your team in order to win. So I think for Coach Mosley, the thing that stood out to him that was good was you were able to hold a very potent offense in the Cavs under 100 points. That was one of their goals. However, they wanted to make sure that they were limiting their turnovers. That was something that they did not do, especially to start the game, as well as winning on the glass, and they got out-rebounded by 14. So those are things that they can control. I think Evan Mobley and Jared Allen were just very dominant in the ways that they were active in the paint. So they're going to have to figure out what that's going to look like. I think with Jonathan Isaacs, that was, you know, one of very few starts for him in this season. So I think that he'll play around with the starting lineup a little bit or just find different ways to throw them off defensively. But I think that he did check the box with just really disrupting them from the three-point line after that hot start from the Cavs in the first quarter.
Angel, was it more Orlando shooting in your estimation, or was it more Cavs defense, or a nice combination?
I think it was a nice combination. I think that when you're looking at the experience in these big games, that was one of the questions that I had to follow by Caro to start the game. This is a young team with very limited experience in playoffs and a team that was not trending in the right direction with away games. They were 1-4 on the road to close out the season. So for them, understanding in an environment that many are not used to and trying to figure out how to win on the road in the playoffs, I think that was something that they got a good taste. They got a good test of what that's going to look like. So I think that they just need to settle down. Every time I saw coach in the huddles or saw the team, they didn't look rattled, but they didn't look in rhythm. And that was my biggest concern. So how can they get to a spot where they can find easier buckets, get to their spots a little easier, know what their bread and butter is in order to say we can get out of this drought. We saw a little bit of that in that third quarter stretch where they brought it within 5 points. but they could not make a bucket in four consecutive possessions. So I think for them just settling in, I think the Cavs did a remarkable job with finding ways to disrupt them on the defensive end. But I think it could be a little bit more of a balanced shooting effort from both sides, honestly, in game two.
Angel Gray joining us. She was working the sidelines game one, Cavaliers against the Orlando Magic over at the Fieldhouse. The Magic, I think, Angel, are a really interesting young team. And I don't know if this is their time or not. Do you think they have enough when it comes to talent to make up for their lack of experience and have a chance to win this series?
I think anyone has a chance. You know, I always look at this as like a seven-game series. It's all about the matchup and what it looks like head-to-head. With them splitting in the regular season, they found something that worked for them in those matchups. But I do think in this particular mode, they're going to need more from their backcourt. They're going to need more from Paolo Banchero. I know that one of the games, even in the loss where he had 42 points against the Cavs, they're going to need him to have one of those type of, you know, monster games. And he's going to need help as well, you know, with Franz Wagner. So I think it's really important for them to understand how to get their big pieces going, and other people have to be able to step up too. I think Jalen Suggs was a big piece of their comeback in the second half. He did things on both ends of the floor. Can we get that effort times 10 from him again and other pieces? Jonathan Isaac has to be one of those players in the paint that for the Cavs, they're second guessing if they want to attack him. And right now, I think the front court for the Cavs are just really taking advantage of their experience in the paint. So can they match that? I'm not sure, but we will see what type of, you know, tricks Coach Mosley has up his sleeve, but he is an incredible coach. He has brought them, you know, in a season where a lot of people did not have them on their radar, and they're, you know, five for a reason. So I'm looking forward to seeing the different schemes that we see from both sides.
Angel, knowing and looking that all the home teams won in the first game of the opening round, I was just curious your thought on that, and then obviously the crowd at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse and what a difference they can make in a game. You've seen enough games there to understand it and understand the energy level. So can you kind of just give me a feel for that and what that home court advantage really means? Because I think a lot of times in the NBA, home court advantage can be taken out the window, but it didn't seem to be that way for the first game of everybody's series.
I need a stat pull from you guys if you can. How many of those home games actually had people, arenas that had fire torches blowing from the Jumbotron? Because if that's the case, I think that gets any team going.
It's all really eight. Can you believe that? All eight had fire. That's unbelievable. They're all copycats.
I think that's a good place to start, honestly. But I think, too, they don't say six man for no reason. That place was rocking out of control, Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Oh, and, you know, Cleveland. You know, Cleveland Rocks. There's a lot of
fans
in there. But
nice.
I think it was very interesting to see how they were fueled off of that. Donovan Mitchell on some key plays, very big buckets in the second half, would turn to the crowd, and you could just feel the chills going throughout the arena. It was absolutely electric, and that's when, you know, you force a team to call timeouts just because of the crowd getting into it as well. So that's some things where, you know, Orlando has to find ways to limit the crowd interaction, finding ways to limit those opportunities. I think they tried their opportunity in the third quarter when they brought it within five. And I think there were some moments when they didn't hit as many big threes in the first half, but that has to be consistent. When you're at home, there's just something completely different. You know where every spot on the floor is for you. You know where nothing is out of rhythm from the time you wake up, from the time you go into the arena and, you know, the ball is tossed. So I think Orlando and any other team that's starting off on the road has to figure out how they can, you know, turn that table in a sense.
You did game one, Cavs Magic. What's next for you? What's on the schedule?
Not sure. Hopefully sleep, but I'm on standby.
Outstanding. Well, we look forward to seeing you back in town. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you again for being with us.
Thanks, Angel.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
Angel Gray, ESPN, working those sidelines. Cavs game one against the Orlando Magic.
Big time, ESPN.
She's terrific. Absolute peach. All right. What are your thoughts tonight, folks? How can they do it? Will they do it? I think the Magic will be better. I think the Cavs are going to have to be better tonight, too. I really do.